for over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night, no matter how chaotic your day is. Conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Thank you very much, Eamon. Good evening. You're listening to The Hard Shoulder here on News Talk. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock. Now, G7 leaders, a meeting in Germany today, have pledged action on Russia. Well, Shona Murray is the Europe correspondent with Euronews. Shona, what action are they talking about?
Well, I suppose we're yet to hear, because we've seen a heavy bombardment in the center of Ukraine. So they have pledged military support, extra military support. Now, there is a big NATO meeting happening in Madrid as of Wednesday. So I think we'll hear more from a military perspective then. But so far at 7, there'll be money, probably, I suppose, the most of what we'll hear over the next couple of days.
And do we know how much money? What are they talking about?
Well, we don't know exactly how much, but we're talking in the region of billions, about 9 billion euro. But it'll sort of work alongside what has already been pledged.
Barry, of course, known to all of you, is the corporate communications manager with Irish Rail. But it's not in that guy as we speak to him, because Barry, where in the world are you at the moment?
How are you doing, Kieran? I'm in Chisinau, which is the capital of Moldova right now. And obviously, we're pretty close to Ukraine. We're about, I think, as the crow flies, about 60 miles from the border. We've got the Russian separatist region of Transnistria about 50 miles up the road. So this is, I suppose, in many ways, kind of the eastern flank of the pro-European side of what really is turning, I think, into the conflict of our time.
What has you in Chisinau? Who are you there with?
I'm here volunteering with an organisation called Refugee Support Europe. Obviously, Moldova is one of those countries that's been hugely affected by the refugee crisis. It, in fact, has the highest number of Ukrainian refugees per head of population. And while that's a challenge to any country, it is in itself the poorest country in Europe. I mean, the average monthly earnings here are just under 300 euro per month. But it is, as was a country that has really stepped up in terms of ensuring that Ukrainian refugees are housed and supported. But what has happened here really is there's a tradition Moldovan people told us about called Casa Mare, and I suppose it might resonate with some things we hear from kind of rural Ireland we've known of growing up, which is that you keep the best room in the house for a visitor or for a stranger. So a lot of the Ukrainian refugees who are here are staying in people's homes, but the people then themselves don't necessarily have the means to support them. So what Refugee Support Europe is, who I'm working with, are doing is we're providing further aid and support to the refugees in our Chisinau centre, in the centre of the city here. And as I say, there's about, I think at the moment, between 80 and 90,000 Ukrainian refugees here. So obviously there's a huge need for that type of support.
And I understand from speaking to people who were there previously, Barry, that the big fear is there is that cities like Odessa would fall and that fighting would move westwards again. It's been predominantly in the east for the last few weeks, but we saw Kyiv being bombed overnight and it is creeping westwards again, that leads to a further influx of refugees.
Completely. And ultimately, I suppose that if you have Odessa being attacked, that it completes what some Russian commentators have spoken of as the land bridge to Transnistria. Transnistria being the separatist region of Moldova, where you currently have 1,500 Russian soldiers, as I say, 50 miles up the road from us here. That effectively is like, you know, a USSR statelet in suspended animation. And in our centre, I mean, we have countless people coming from Odessa and from Mykolaiv. And it's extraordinarily heartrending just to, you know, one, I suppose, see the strength of the people, but just the absolute longing they have just to get back to normality. Mm-hmm. That is all the Ukrainian people want. But I suppose the nature of the work we're doing is just about trying to bring normality into the lives. It's not kind of an aid package. What we do is we run it, we try to run it like the nicest possible shop that you could imagine, where there's be like the people are given credits to support them, and they choose what they want. And some people, you know, want pasta and want things to cook meals. Some people want to give the kids a few treats. It's entirely up to them. We have a little kids area as well, and the kids visiting kind of do drawings and leave them behind. So, you know, you have some pretty special moments every day. But it doesn't assuage, frankly, the anger as to why we're here. It's tough going at times.
And is there much of a flow in the other direction? I mean, as fighting moved eastwards, did many people start to return to Ukraine from Moldova?
Some did, and again, I suppose a small number would have gone back to Odessa. But Odessa has, and the Odessa region has, kind of intermittently been seeing attacks, and I think particularly what we've seen over the last couple of days, these kind of indiscriminate attacks, and indeed in the last couple of hours, these indiscriminate attacks. Again, the concern is that you could have a very, very sudden influx. Again, there's obviously a lot of agencies working here to support that, but you know, this is a poor country. I mean, I have to say, as a city, I've been actually kind of probably quite surprised and impressed by it, and indeed that general welcomeness there. But there is the concern that influx are coming in, and ultimately then the existential concern that if Transnistria, that if they link up with Transnistria, then that Moldova in many ways is the obvious next target. And you can feel it. It's not that it feels dangerous here. It doesn't. Right now it feels safe. But you can just, even in things like the memorials you see around the city, like to the forced deportation of Moldovans by the Soviets after the Second World War. You know what I mean? It's happening again to Ukrainians, and, you know, and monuments to the defeat of fascism. And here we are fighting. So it just, you know, it all feels very real here.
Yeah,
in everything that you feel.
And appreciating what you just said about the fact that it, despite all that, it feels safe. Is there a sense of how close you are to conflict?
No, being honest, it doesn't. I mean, like, you know, we've seen army around, not in any kind of, you know, operational guise. There is army around. A lot of police around last weekend, and I suppose it kind of showed, talked to some of the more kind of societal issues at play here. You know, there have been kind of Russian sympathetic governments in the past. Right now, the president, Maya Sandu, is obviously very pro-European, was elected on a pro-Europe anti-corruption ticket, has got Moldova to a place where it's now an EU candidate country. But you still obviously have an element in society here that leaned the other way. So last weekend here, just after I arrived, actually, there was a pride march, and there was a lot of police out to protect that pride march from kind of reactionary counter protest that was happening. I literally walked past signs kind of, and it was quite stark, saying, you know, stop homosexual propaganda was the sign. So the police had to protect that after the mayor tried to scupper the march last weekend. Later in the day, then there was what appeared to be, you know, Russian orchestrated protests about the cost of living and against the government. There wasn't a huge protest, but it's there. So, you know, these factors there. And I say that again is why it feels like, you know, we're part of it here, not in a conflict sense, but just in that kind of moral worry that's going on.
RefugeeSupportEU.com. RefugeeSupportEU.com is the name of the website. Shona Murray is back with us. Shona, the Europe correspondent with Euronews. Shona, you were telling us about like the financial aid package, the kind of expected volume of that. In terms of more material support, short-term military hardware, for example, I mean, how much agreement or otherwise is there amongst the leaders of the G7 about what to do?
Well, there's a full-on support for military hardware, extra military hardware. We heard from Jake Sullivan from the United States saying and making a big announcement about what's going to be sent to Ukraine in terms of long-range missiles and extra capabilities. There's a huge NATO summit on a Wednesday in Madrid, so all of those decisions will be made then, because obviously you have to have NATO member states coordinating what's being sent to Ukraine, coordinating what troops go to the eastern border in Europe and so on. So the G7 is quite a bit about coordinating sanctions and financial support. And for example, one of the things that they're working out very thoroughly over the past few days, the possibility of having a global price cap on oil, where you would reduce the amount of money that Russia gets from the oil itself. Because remember, when you had the EU, the West embargoing Russian oil, there was still oil there, and other countries have taken it, probably at a reduced price. So essentially, the plan is for other countries like China, like India, that are availing of that leftover oil, that they would agree to only pay a certain amount of money for it. Because otherwise, Russia is actually getting a huge amount of income for its war chest, and it sort of defeats the purpose of EU member states not having enough oil, if it's not actually going to harm Russia. The problem with all of this is that OPEC countries like Saudi Arabia and so on, they haven't been producing more oil, even though they've been requested to do so. So there's a lot of discussion about how do you get global support for these sanctions, because the West is doing the heavy lifting. You have other countries like Saudi Arabia, China, India, you know, their position is this is a regional conflict. We don't want to get involved.
Yeah, this all sounds very much kind of a triumph of hope over expectation. The idea that the Chinese are going to agree to kind of a European suggestion of price caps.
Well, I mean, I know I hear your skepticism there, but that's why Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India, is here, as well as Macky Sall, who's Senegal president, but he's also the president of the African Union. And we've also got South African President Cyril Ramaphosa here. So you have those other sort of developing countries here at the G7 today to meet with the G7 leaders to discuss, look, which way are you going here? Are you going to go the pro-democracy route? You don't have to even sanction Russia. You just have to support what we're trying to do, which is, at the same time, it means that you still get your cheap oil. And it's a historic decision to be sort of with us or against us, and that's really what it's about. There's also more sanctions on the table, like sanctioning Russian gold and, you know, other pieces like the €600 billion that was announced last night for a sort of a global initiative for low-income countries that counters the Chinese Belt and Road Initiative. So there's money there, and it's really about shoring up the rules-based system amid huge threats from China and obviously from Russia as well. Russia and Russia's allies in Brazil, in Saudi Arabia, and other countries like that.
Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews. Shona, thanks a million for that update from the G7 meeting in Germany. As Shona says, a big NATO meeting happening a little bit later this week on Wednesday. Plenty still to come on The Hard Shoulder today. We'll have all your business news next.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.